What if you found out that everything you were taught about money, about borrowing, about saving was wrong? When would you want to find out about that?
You're paying to borrow your own money. And of course, that's not what you're doing. You should start to question, maybe there is a better way to do the same things that I want to do, to change how I do it.
And to the person who prides themselves in paying cash for everything, if that's you, you got to know, paying cash isn't free. Your cash has a value far above what that actual number is in the bank right now. It's called opportunity cost.
I want to pay as much premium as I possibly can so that I can fund future opportunities. And then I have a place for windfalls when I sell a rental that I don't want to own anymore or whatever. Why wouldn't you want to be able to perform that function in your life at a high level and maybe meet all of your family's needs for finance at some point?
Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast. So today we really want to pull back the curtain on six principles that really change the way we do everything when it comes to our money. I think somebody asked this question to me a long time ago when I was kind of first starting out here. They said, what if you found out that everything you were taught about money, about borrowing, about saving was wrong? When would you want to find out about that? Now?
Right away.
Yeah, right away. That's what we want to talk about today. So six principles that kind of guided you and me, Paul, on our journey, this infinite banking journey. It's kind of started with infinite banking, but it's led, you know, that's the foundation. It's led to so many things on top of that. So let's start going through these, man, one by one. You know, the first principle we've got here is, and this, I'll let Paul describe this one. You finance everything you buy. My youngest son came into my office yesterday because I was doing a little work yesterday evening, prepping for Monday. And he said, hey, what are you doing, Dad? Well, just doing a little prep, podcast prep. He's like, what are you going to talk about? Oh, some principles that change the way I think about money. And he's like, what's one? I said, you finance everything you buy. And he's like, what does that mean? So we got to talk about that for like 5 minutes. So Paul, why don't you take this one and what does that mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've had this conversation. I don't know if I have it with a lot of our listeners who become clients because they get it and they've done the work. But just talking to people, I guess, that aren't our clients. And I'll give my father-in-law as an example. We've discussed this many times. And he was kind of not a Dave Ramsey guy, but kind of IBC, but without the without the dividend paying whole life insurance premium, a large premium in the middle, right? It was kind of pay cash for everything. So very Dave Ramsey-ish in a sense, although they do own a couple of whole life policies. That being said, you know, we used to discuss this and I was like, listen, we do IBC people, we do things the exact same way. We still pay cash for things if we want to, right? So you want to go get a new F-150, that's his primary driver, right? That's fine. But how you finance it, you need to understand you're always dealing with borrowed money. And old school cash payers, they really have trouble reconciling that in their brains. I'm like, well, listen, this is what I mean by that. And it's very simple. You can either, right, you can finance it, you can borrow money from the finance company at the dealership, right? And you can pay them interest. That is one way. So you are, in a sense, paying interest to them. You are giving up interest you could have earned because you're paying it to somebody else. Or you pay cash. You use your own. You've capitalized over a certain amount of time, let's say 5 years. You've saved for that vehicle. And now you've spent that money on that vehicle. You have the vehicle. You've got the title. You own it. That's great. Whatever. But you now permanently given up the earning potential of that money, right? So could you have done something else? You always have to think, what else could I have done with this money? And something that you and I have done over the years, we have done other things where we've taken that money that we've capitalized over a period of time, purchased a cash flowing asset with it, and then used that asset to pay for the thing, the widget that we wanted, right? So that was a different way to do it. But it just, again, most people are not thinking in terms of opportunity cost, alternative use of money, staying well capitalized, keeping a large cash reserve for other opportunities that come up. They're comfortable in the way that their parents did it. Their parents did it. And it's just, I don't want to have any debt. I hear the word loan, my head explodes. I don't want to have any. Dave Ramsey says it's bad. My dad said it was bad. And they get into this just 50, 60 years straight in adulthood of just saving, paying cash. But what all they're doing really is giving up interest they could have otherwise earned.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you don't get rich and you don't stay rich by paying cash. So we do the exact same thing people who pay cash do. We accumulate capital. They accumulate it in a bank account, save it up until they have enough to go trade that for something else. Most often a liability, a depreciating liability. You could call, on your net worth statement, your car is an asset. But it's not doing anything except costing you money. So really it's a liability. So anyway, we do the same thing over here, but we just accumulate our capital somewhere else where we never lose the opportunity cost of earning on that cash for the rest of our lives. Every day for the rest of my life until I graduate, I'm earning something on that capital. Where the saver, they earn until they give it away and trade it for something else, and then they're done earning. The money's out of their life forever. You, on the other hand, get to recycle that same capital we're both saving, but ours gets recycled over and over and over and continues to grow uninterrupted in the background while I'm using it at the exact same time. So there's a huge difference. There's the same discipline, but our mode of operation couldn't be more different.
Yeah, absolutely. And often what comes up for people this early in their IBC journey is, and I'm trying to think if I struggled with this way back. I don't think I did, but was, okay, they think, well, number one, they think they're borrowing their own money, and that's a fallacy. You're not. You're not borrowing your own money. Even what they say, they say it on YouTube, and I'll pick on Dave Ramsey again. He always says that. You're paying to borrow your own money. And of course, that's not what you're doing. You're borrowing the life insurance company's money and they're using your cash value or the policy, the contract as collateral. So you're not borrowing your own money. You're borrowing against the value of it. Sure, that's an accurate way to say it. But that's the beauty of it. I don't want to borrow my own money. I don't want to interrupt the compound growth of my money. I want that compound line to be steady, right? Because every time you interrupt it, I kind of like the stair step.
Yeah, well, the compound line is not steady, though. It's not linear. It's a hockey stick, right? That's how compound interest works.
That's right. Yeah, I actually was speaking to a guy today, a real estate investor. He's a guy that's actually at a high level, owns like 40 doors, really gets it. He's a pilot, flies for one of the airlines that's kind of in trouble. I won't name it, but it's yellow. But He understands better than probably most real estate investors. They seem to have a mental block when it comes to the infinite banking concept. The really savvy ones don't, but most of them aren't. They're kind of like realtors. They're just, most of them aren't very good. they're just winging it. But he understood it, and he's like, I want to pay as much premium as I possibly can so that I can fund future opportunities. So he totally gets it. And then I have a place for windfalls when I sell a rental that I don't want to own anymore or whatever. It is interesting, though, how some people get it right away and then other people, it's like this mental block. And I'm not smart enough, unfortunately, to like unpack it for them in such a way that just makes them, oh yeah, that makes so much sense. So I have to show them Dave's 4-minute video.
Yeah.
That helps. If they still don't get it, then they're helpless.
I don't know what to do for you. I made it as simple as I possibly could. I don't know what else to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, to the person who prides themselves in paying cash for everything, if that's you, you got to know, paying cash isn't free. Your cash has a value far above what that actual number is in the bank right now. It's called opportunity cost. it's actually it's costing you way more to pay cash than you have any clue about, because you've never looked past just the first step of, I've got cash, I'm going to trade that for a car. I don't have a bill. I don't have a monthly bill. I don't have any interest. Great. You're not earning any interest either. That's the opportunity cost. So you really got to understand this. If you can't understand this principle, then the rest of these, it doesn't even matter if you don't understand that one.
Please keep listening.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, Dave, the idea of a life, you know, your entire adult life, let's say you went to college, you graduated at age 22, and maybe you're not like Dave. You're like our buddy Chad, who buys a car every 38 seconds. And by the time you're 50, you have now owned, you know, 90 cars. And in a normal environment, you're losing money, right? You're losing money buying cars. Now, there was an acute, you know, economic phenomena called money printing back in 2020, 2021, 2022, where that wasn't the case. And the COVID shutdown, all the perfect storm, right? You can make money on used cars. But very rarely is that going to occur without outside manipulation of the economy. So anyway, but when you think of financing a car every 5 years, let's say, like my first clients, they buy new BMWs every 5 years. Despite the mileage, like I remember when they first became my client, the one they traded in was his car. It had 15,000 miles on it.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, you realize that's like a new car. But anyway, he likes the tech and he likes the upgrades and all that. That's fine. But they were paying cash. They, you know, less the trade, paying cash. Less the trade, paying cash. And I just showed them, I was like, hey, you need life insurance and you like to buy cars. Let's merge those two things together. And now all that money you're spending on cars, you will now keep in your family forever. It's providing, you know, interest, dividends, death benefit, tax-free, you know, accessible tax-free growth, all these things. And their compound line is going to be higher than it otherwise would have been had they just continued down the pay cash, less the trade, you know, just they're going to be wealthier. Just by changing the sequence of the same dollars, they're just passing it through the policy first. That's it.
Yeah. And the moment they realize that, when you taught them that there's an opportunity cost to paying cash, you're still financing that purchase. The moment they realize that, they stop thinking like a consumer, started thinking like a banker. Yeah. Which really leads us to point number two, principle number two. Yeah. So principle number two, think like a banker, not a borrower. And you already outlined, you got the saver, you got the debtor who they don't even have the discipline to save. They just go into debt to buy that car and then work their way back to zero. But, you know, most of us think like consumers. We're trained to think like a consumer. Because who does that benefit? Certainly not us. It benefits whoever you're consuming from. The institutions that you go to get money to go consume things. You know, things you don't need to impress people you don't like, instead of thinking like a banker. So how has, you know, I mean, what does Nelson have to say about thinking in his book, Becoming Your Own Banker? Yeah.
Yeah. You have to rethink your thinking. And in the educational IBC process is, you know, the first thing we're going to tell you is if you haven't done it, right, you know, you're on a 20-minute intro call. Have you read Nelson's book? 92 pages, about 60-something pages of text, you know, very easy to read. This is my original copy that I bought when Dave told me to get it. You know, but you got to read it several times. Keep reading it. You got to read that book and understand, you know, and that's your mindset. That's going to make you think and you're going to have questions, but it's going to change. It should change the way you think about money, kind of like the conversation we just had about paying cash for stuff. You should start to question, maybe there is a better way to do the same things that I want to do, but kind of just change how I do it. And that's what this is all about. But thinking like a banker is paramount. Who has all the money? Just ask Willie Sutton, right, in the book. Why do you rob banks? Well, that's where the money is. Why wouldn't you want to be able to perform that function in your life at a high level and maybe meet all of your family's needs for finance at some point. It's going to take you 20 years to do it maybe, but that's an endeavor worth doing. Make what the bank otherwise would be making off of you and your family. Wow. Powerful.
Yeah, truly. You know, banks understand velocity of money. They understand how to take money and make money with it. Taking your money that you're saving there on deposit as an unsecured creditor, lending that back to your neighbor Paul at, you know, 8 to 10 to 100 times what they're paying you to store your money. They're going to charge that to your neighbor. And they get to keep that spread. You know, they understand this. They understand the power of other people's money because they're banks run by bankers. You know, banking is the most profitable business in the history of the entire world, right?
Yep.
So if you can take even a fraction of that and put it into your own life, you're gonna come out way ahead than you otherwise would. So this is so fun when your clients have these aha moments when they start thinking like a banker. So I was catching up with a client just last week. He recently expanded his system. He already had a policy on him, his wife, and his daughter. And he recently expanded the system to get another policy on his wife, I think it is, because he's flying bombers for the Air Force. So he's got a rating. So it costs a little more. So he's like, hey, well, let's get another policy on my wife and we can convert that. Well, so he did that because he watched episode 186, where we talked about, you know, capturing these big
sequence.
Annual expenses as PUA premium, as part of your premium before it leaves your hands forever. So he was able to start a new policy sooner than he otherwise would have because he discovered I can use these expenses. Well, one of the expenses is his country club membership. And that's an annual, he pays it annually. And then he gets a little bit of a discount to pay annually. So he just pays it annually. So he saves it up throughout the year. Now it's running through his policy, his PUA premium, and he can borrow against it to go pay it. And then the next year, he's got to save that money up again to cover the next year's premium. So he's just repaying that loan. But anyway, he was talking to the owners of the country club, and they don't charge assessments to their members, he said, and they needed some renovations. So they were talking about having to go to the bank and get like a 12% loan to do these renovations. Hmm. And he said, well, hey, why don't you just go to all the current members and offer them like a 10% annual discount if they pay 2 years worth of membership dues right now? You get all your cash. It only costs you 10% instead of 12%. You're doing your members a favor. And they're probably going to be now they're guaranteed to be members for another 2 years. And they're going to be happy because by paying their membership early, they're actually funding some improvements that is going to make their country club even better. So he told that to him. He said like a week later, he got an email that was sent out to all the members inviting him to pay 2 years worth of membership dues and getting a 10% discount.
Imagine that.
all because he was thinking like a banker and his thinking actually translated, you know, the country club owners, they're business owners. But they're not thinking like a banker. There's a big difference. You start thinking like a banker, that light bulb goes off and everything looks different. That was the coolest story he told me. And he almost, it was like he just remembered that story while we were talking and catching up. I was like, that's the perfect example of thinking like a banker. That's what this does.
Yeah. And we've had numerous clients just, you know, bring us examples of things that they did, you know, in their personal finance, just creative, rethinking their thinking differently, thinking like, hey, I'm in a position of strength right now because I have cash. I don't need the finance company at the dealership. I don't need someone's private money to do my flip if I don't want it, right? I can do this myself. No, that's great. Did they get 10% off each? Like each year, like 10% off.
Well, yeah, because if you paid the 2 years right away, you get a 10% savings right there. And I said,
great.
I said, hey, if you want to take it to another level, and I didn't do the math yet because I don't know how much he paid for it. I said, that 10% savings is equivalent to a tax-free gain on your money if you like turn it around and think about it differently. So your members, and I said, you should tell those the country club owners because they could reattack with their members and show them how, hey, this is equivalent to you earning, call it 25% on your money, tax-free. You know, I don't know what the math is, but we did have a guest on Langdon years ago who saved on kids' tuition, and we determined that was the equivalent of, I think it was like a 33%.
16%? Oh, it was way
more. Well, he saved like 20% or something, but it equated to a 33% tax-free earning on his money, like the same equivalent. You just look at it from a different perspective.
Yeah, it's a cool way to look at it, too, and it's completely... It's legitimate. I was hoping you were going to say that because I was thinking in my mind of that example of Langdon. And it's a return on your money. I mean, it's money you're going to spend anyway.
Yeah, it is. Right. You're going to spend it anyway. Now, the key is before you spend it, go back to principle number one. You got to put that money through a system where it's going to be working for you forever. You know, then borrow against it to go pay your dues.
Would have been even better if he was like, you know, golf people, you need to listen to these guys.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give him some books. I got a new book coming out called Infinite Banking for Business Owners. That should be out before too long. So I'll send him some copies and have him drop them off at the old country club office.
There you go.
Yeah. Maybe I'll put this story in there so they'll read it. That'd be good. All right.
Forward.
Yeah.
This next one's for the business owner who's tired of going to the bank with his hat in his hand, asking permission to use their money. I've got all this money on deposit. I want a loan. And they say no, or they say, hey, it's going to take all this underwriting, right? There's a better way to do your next business deal. And it starts with a mindset change with you. Because you're going to bail them out anyway.
Banking is a process. And you can bank with a variety of different products, but we're going to talk about the one that's going to be best suited for you to bank at the personal individual level.
The people following the conventional financial advice out there generally shut down and their head explodes when they hear the word whole life insurance. But what if I told you that Walt Disney, JCPenney, the founder of Pampered Chef, all used whole life insurance contracts to fund their business operations. Absolutely. All right. So before we get to principle number three, I want to tell a quick story of one of my first clients who, you know, we'd be in the office talking about money as we often did as Army officers. Apparently we weren't working, so we were, you know, just
standard
shooting
Army
the breeze.
Officers.
Before reading Nelson and just listening to what I was saying, he thought the infinite banking concept was not a scam, but he thought it was absurd. He's like, there's no way you can do that with a whole life policy. There's no way any of that is true. But to his credit, he's like, I'll read the book and I'll read another book. And then we'd have conversations and I'd do some whiteboarding. And then he slowly started to, you know, come around. Then he was like, and then I can remember the day in the office, we were at Fort Knox. He's like, I get it. He's like, I totally get it. And then he started drawing and, you know, whatever. And I was like, yeah, it's simple. He's like, yeah, it makes so much sense. Here's what I'll, you know, I guess the lesson for that story is give yourself and your ancestors or your future descendants a chance. Right? Explore this concept. Put in the work that Trevor did, who is, again, this guy thinks everything is a scam, right? He finally found something that wasn't. He's like, and now he's, you know, owns multiple policies, big, you know, is a big believer in the concept. Obviously practices at a high level and has, you know, been my client for 6 years now. So anyway, this kind of leads us into the next principle. Principle three of banking is a process, it's not a product. Oftentimes on the internet, we hear about IBC or infinite banking, and people think it's like a thing you're buying. It's not. It's IBC is a process, and you could practice the infinite banking concept at a lower level using a CD or a savings account or whatever. And Nelson explains that in the book, Becoming Your Own Banker, 5th edition. But the ideal product or vehicle through which to practice the infinite banking concept is a properly structured and I'm putting quotations around that, dividend paying whole life insurance policy from a mutual life insurance company, preferred.
Yeah, and that's key, mutual, because when dividends are paid, they're paid back to the owners of the company, which is the policyholder, because it's a mutually owned life insurance company. You know, one of the key attributes of this product to help you perform the function of banking is, you know, the guaranteed growth, the fact that it compounds uninterrupted, that you never actually reach in and pull out your cash value, your equity. All you do is watch that equity grow, that cash value compound year over year over year, and you access a line of credit that that provides you. That's basically collateralizing this line of credit from the insurance company to go use the insurance company's cash to do your investing, to, you know, strike at opportunities, to pay off debt, to fund emergencies or big expenses in your life. So, you know, the objection I hear sometimes, especially when you get online and start having these dialogues, is, you know, Mr. Investor wearing his, you know, his puffy vest, so he looks like a finance bro, and he says, "Well, I have an S block," and he doesn't explain to anybody what an S block is, which is a security backed line of credit, because, you know, he's too cool for school. I have an S block and I can do the exact same thing. Okay. So you can actually, a security backed line of credit, you can absolutely borrow against that. That's just basically your stock portfolio. That brokerage house that you keep that with, maybe they'll loan you some cash. Maybe if you have very conservative investments in there, like bonds, they'll give you 90% loan to value in cash to go do whatever it is you want to do with that cash. But what's guaranteeing that loan? What is securing that loan they give you? Well, it's your portfolio. Where's the guarantee that your portfolio is not going to drop, that will continue to just get bigger and bigger and bigger? There's no guarantee, right? So what's the biggest risk here? Is it what's called a margin call, where, hey, your collateral dropped below or too close to how much money you borrowed, or even worse, less than what you borrowed. Now you owe them money and you owe it to them yesterday, or else they're going to liquidate right. your portfolio and everything you worked hard to compound, to save up for, to put away for later and build up as your nest egg. It's at risk. How is that different, Paul, than when we take loans from the insurance company and, you know, against our cash value? What's the big difference there?
Well, the difference is that the life insurance company is guaranteeing the value of the collateral, right? In this case, the collateral is the policy. Another way to say it is the collateral is the death benefit. Another way to say it is the collateral is the cash value. But really, the collateral is the policy's death benefit. So they know that, you know, contractually, they've guaranteed a baseline level of death benefit and a baseline level of cash value or equity that you can borrow against, right? You can't borrow more than that. You can't borrow more, you know, beyond the equity. So, but they know when, you know, this is all higher level math than I ever took, but the smart people design the policies. It's actuarial, you know, science, law of large numbers. They know that you're going to do a few things as the policy owner, as in this case, you're the borrower, right? You're the policy owner, you're the borrower. So you've leveraged a policy loan. You borrowed against the value of the policy. You're either going to pay the interest on the loan, you're going to pay the loan off at some point. You're, you know, maybe you're going to amortize it yourself. There's no repayment schedule, but you're going to amortize it yourself and repay it so that you can use that money again for the next thing that you have to do. Or you're going to drop dead someday. And that they'll take the death benefit, which is the future value of the equity, right? The equity is worth later on. The difference is time and premium. And they're going to take that. Let's say you borrowed $100,000 of cash value. The death benefit's worth $1 million. You drop dead the next day. They take your death benefit, eliminate the $100,000 loan, and your beneficiaries get the $900,000 death benefit, all income tax free. Although your family, if you think about this, we've talked about it before, your family still got $1 million. You just got it in two different forms. One was in the form of a policy loan. One was in the $900,000 was in the form of a death benefit check. So the risk is completely transferred. And that's what Dave is getting at, is that, yeah, you can do an S block and all this fancy stuff and you want to feel sophisticated and do all that. That's fine. And more power to you. It's all great until it isn't, right? You have no control of what the stock values are. You have no idea what's going to happen. You see it over and over again. Oh, this caught everyone by surprise, you know, and we had no idea that the stock market was going to drop 20% in one day. Well, it's happened, and history has a funny way of repeating itself. So with a whole life insurance contract, the value is guaranteed. On the non-guaranteed side, once a dividend is declared and that value is paid, it will never be taken away. That value is now locked in. It is now a guaranteed value. It's just easier to know. It's more predictable for the policy owner just to, he doesn't have to worry about a margin call.
Yeah. And you'd mentioned the, you know, the terrible occurrence of potential death, right? Let's say you died, you're the owner of that portfolio. You take an S block, you got money out, you die. Well, your family's stuck with that, right? So what's that brokerage going to do? They're probably going to liquidate the holdings to get their money back because you're dead. You're not going to pay back that loan. They're getting their money back though. So they'll liquidate the holdings and give your family what's left over. In the case of insurance though, they do reclaim the loan outstanding, of course, but what they're giving your family is a multiple of what you ever put in. You put in pennies, your family's getting dollars tax-free.
Yeah, so I would just encourage, you know, these people, like, this is not an either or strategy. This is important to understand about the infinite banking concept. We can't hammer this home enough. You should be doing both, right? It's a sequence issue. You should own properly structured dividend paying whole life insurance policies on everyone you have an insurable interest on and be paying as much premium as you possibly can. And you should be doing whatever else you're good at, right? Maybe it's your job. Maybe you're a day trader. Maybe you've got an S block and you're doing that as well. But one thing you need, why not add some just guaranteed future windfalls into your family's portfolio, but also you're enjoying those living benefits of cash value policy loans while you're alive to go do those other things that you need to do. But like Dave said, give us pennies. When you walk out, we'll give you dollars in return.
All right. Well, we're going to cut this episode right here because this one went pretty long, and we'll pick up with the second half next week.
Also, go check out in the show notes the link to our website, thewealthwarehousepodcast.com. We've got a bunch of great resources on there. You can watch Dave's little video that's very handy. And do not schedule a call with us unless you've read Nelson's book, which if you're watching us on YouTube, it's right there. So read Becoming Your Own Banker, maybe some other books in IBC, schedule a call with us. We'll be more than happy to talk with you.
Absolutely. And until next time, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.